Paradise Town Board will come to order October 28th, 2025. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just a couple of items at the top of the agenda as noted. Items on this agenda may be taken out of order. The board council may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board council may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the board or county commissioners or the planning commission for final action. So tonight is not the final action. That's a recommendation. And those two boards, whichever they're assigned to, will make the final decision. Please turn off or mute any cell phones or other electronic devices that you might have that might go off and interrupt the meeting. And if you have any private conversations you'd like to hold during the meeting, you can take them into the lobby back there or the side area right over here so as not to disturb the presentation or the meeting. Just to give you an idea of how this is going to go, item will be read into the record. It's recorded. We'd ask that you use the microphone up here. And then once the applicant or their representative has given their presentation, we'll open it up to the public. People in the public will have 3 minutes each to speak on the item. We'd appreciate it if you don't have something to say new, leave it to the person that was ahead of you to have said it, if you can. But you're welcome to come up and exercise your 3 minutes. After that, it will be closed to the public, and the representative or the applicant will answer any questions or rebut any items of anything the public might have brought up. After it's closed to the public, that's it. So if you have something to say, say it in your 3 minutes, because we're not going to open it up back to the public. You will address the board, not the representative, and the representative won't address you. They will address the board. And that's the way it'll go. Otherwise, we'll all be here all night. Okay? Let the record show that Kimberly Schwartzlander and Renee Wotus are not here and they're excused. Do we have county presentation?
Alright,
thank you. Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction that are not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. As I said earlier, clearly state your name. Spell your last name for the secretary, if you would. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. So, does anybody have anything?
There are some empty chairs here and over here, if you'd like to come forward.
There's two chairs right up here, a couple of chairs right over there, and along the wall. Well, that's kind of hard along the wall. Can we have approval of the minutes for October 14th, 2025?
Chair, I move to approve the minutes of October 14th, 2025.
We have a motion to approve the minutes of October 14th, 2025. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the agenda for October 28, 2025.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the agenda for this evening, October 28th, with the following change. Item number 11-18-25-400-100-ZC-042507, Pacific Place Site LLC, has been requested to be held by the applicant until
January 13th.
All other items will be read as presented.
We have a motion to hold item number 11. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Any informational items? Okay, we'll move on to item 6, planning and zoning. Item number 1, DR250630, KHW625 LLC, and Marriott Corporation. Lease, holdover, design review.
Evening.
Just talk into the top of it.
What's that?
Just talk into the top of it. It's that type of microphone. Yeah, here.
Good evening. I'm Mark Mulhall on behalf of the applicant. So this site is approximately 3.83 acres. It's there located west of the Terminal 1 departures. It's then south of Kitty Hawk Way and Four Corners Road. As you can see here on the aerial, the airport is located just to the west of the subject site. And so what we're proposing on this site is a parking garage. And so this site is currently zoned public facility. A parking garage is permitted within the public facility zone. So here's the proposed layout of the parking garage. We're going to have approximately 2,273 parking stalls within the parking garage. Of that, the majority are going to be standard stalls. So there's going to be 2,213 standard stalls, 19 EV installed stalls, 12 EV capable stalls, 8 accessible van stalls, and 25 accessible stalls, as well as 4 bicycle charging spaces. In addition, there's going to be a shuttle service at the parking garage to shuttle folks to and from the terminals of the airport. So in this blue area, that's going to be a shuttle wash area for those shuttles that are servicing the parking garage. There's going to be an office and valet lounge for staff there, and then there's also an operations office along what is the eastern side of the site. There's ingress to the project here at the north of it, so there's access gates, but there's enough room for the cars to come in. So there shouldn't be any stacking or queuing issues. Egress is down here at the south. All of it is off Marriott Road, which is a private road. Additionally, the overall height of the parking garage is 83 feet. That's to the top of the elevator shaft. It's 6 stories. So with this and with our location by the airport, we submitted notice of construction to the FAA for the structure and for the crane during construction. We received back determinations of no hazard on both of those from the FAA. Additionally, too, at the top of the parking garage, there currently is covered parking with solar panels, and so that would create electricity to charge vehicles there and then to generate some of the other electricity in the building. We understand the conditions with the airport on this. Obviously, it's a sensitive location, so there's numerous airport conditions associated with this. We've met with the airport. We're working with them. We're going to continue to meet with the airport and work with them on this application as it's a sensitive site. I'll just briefly show, too, the renderings of the proposed parking garage. So this is if you're looking at it from the northeast perspective. So this is the eastern side. There's a shaded walkway. There'll be future signage there. As you can see that at the top. And then because of the existence of those of the fuel farms and the airport on the western side, that western boundary will be completely shielded. We'll continue to work with the airport on all of those conditions. We appreciate staff's recommendation of approval. I'm happy to answer any questions here tonight. Thank you.
Is there anyone here in the public who would like to speak on the item? Come forward, give us your name for the record. And address.
Good morning, Chair and members of the board. Attorney UPS George, United South Franklin Boulevard. I represent a commercial pilot who operates within this corridor. It's important to know I'm not here to obstruct development. I'm here simply to ask that approval follow safety, not precede it. Preliminarily, before just getting into the comments, I'd just like to acknowledge staff. Who has a very difficult job. They often prepare complex reports under real pressure, and my comments today are not a critique of staff, but merely about sequencing and timing. And whether we are seeking, and this body is seeking, to make a recommendation of approval, knowing it has sufficient information and evidence before to make a determination of the safety of the placement and structure of this garage. And I also want to thank Mark, counsel for the applicant. He's a fellow Boyd alum and grad, and I appreciate his professionalism and his advocacy on this in working with the airport. But I think there are some genuine issues here. And let me just begin by saying I think the issue before the board today isn't about a garage's construction, but rather it's about timing. And more importantly, is there an adequate record of safety before this very board, a public board, not a bureaucratic agency of another unelected branch of government, but this board to adequately make a representation and finding? And the record before you has significant concerns, not only from the Department of Aviation in its last paragraph, on the second and the third page, immediately above staff's recommendation, they actually have a finding as to the proximity and the distance between this garage and the Swissport fuel cells, which are less than just 2 feet wet. More important than that, we also know that the conditions of approval, which I certainly appreciate, and the numerosity of these conditions of approval, which are many, conditions of approval typically are fine-tuning of an overall development function. They're not typically used to make an otherwise incompliant or uncompliant development compliant. And I feel like here what we are using is passing the buck onto other unelected public agencies for them to conduct their own analysis and for them to then make that recommendation back to the top planning department and building department for them to make their ultimate decision and approval. I think that process is out of order. Rather, I think the appropriate thing to do is for the applicant to not only continue to work with the public agency like the Department of Aviation and the FAA and other related agencies, but to bring to you their actual findings of safety, not only in terms of lighting, site lighting, but also in terms of development. And we know they can do that. Mark just represented to you that he was able to get a shielding determination in the document from the FAA as related to the construction of the building. That's great, but that only relates just to the construction of the plane. That has nothing to do in terms of making an adequate evidentiary finding on the record that this building is in fact safe given the proximity to the fuel cell. More important, I will say this, my client who is a commercial pilot, and many of you may have heard this, it is a very common occurrence that people will aim laser beams, will aim lighting towards pilots when they take off and when they land. Frankly, I had never heard of this until Ron had explained that to me. But when I had researched it, it was more common than we think. And while the applicant expresses a significant amount of time in their application discussing the construction of the western side of the parking garage, which faces the fuel cell, what they fail to acknowledge is the roof of the building. It is not protected. There are only solar panels. There is no issue there with a car parking his car, sitting there for a few days examining the flight patterns of the airplanes, and ultimately making a hostile terrorist threat, whether it's using lighting and laser beams on airplanes, shooting and igniting fumes and fire against the fuel cell, which is a significant concern. And just for a moment, all of us lived through the tragedy of October 1. How was that able to happen? It didn't happen just in the moment because the shooter ran upstairs on the higher floor to be able to shoot down on the concert films. He had days to plan. Here, it's a public parking garage, publicly accessible with a parked car that can stay there for however many days, even a week. Plotting and planning, frankly, we won't know.
And even worse, if you look at the very end of the staff report, there's only one bullet point from the Department of Fire and Safety, just one. And it says, it appears it may not follow and adhere to the fire code. It appears. We don't know. And there's only one access road in and out of this facility. It's a private access road. So there's nothing to stop the terrorist group from stopping that roadway, stopping ingress and egress. And what I would like to see is for the applicants working with the fire department, Department of Aviation, and the FAA, gather this information, present it before the board, allow the board to publicly vet that. And how often has this board made recommendations that has gone against even staff recommendations or other government body recommendations? It's because this body is the arm and the speaking arm of this public. But to do that outside of that, I think creates procedural issues, and my clients are genuinely concerned.
So
for those items, I ask that you either invite the applicant to obey the application, to come back at a later time, once it has all of its findings for this board to publicly vet into it daily, or if the applicant is unwilling or unable to do so, to make a recommendation of denial, simply because it doesn't have the requisite information to make a finding of safety. So I simply ask that safety and approval, approval, follow-up safety, not proceed. Thank you very much.
With that, I'll close it to the public. Is there anyone else on this item? Okay, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
Well, I think what you are asking us is beyond our scope. There's a lot of legality there in what you want us to do versus what the state has outlined our duties to be. So I don't know that we can do much more than what the typical procedures are in terms of reviewing an application and making a recommendation. So that's all we're doing is recommending. The conditions that you're asking for are one of the things that we recommend or deny or make changes to. So the preliminary staff conditions cover planning, the Department of Aviation, which has a lot of bullet points that they want to see happen, as well as the fire department, meaning nothing's going to happen until all of these things are taken care of. Now, I don't know of any requirement that says that has to happen before we take a look at it. And all we're saying is, they should follow through with the rest of it before they are finalized with the final decision, which is the Board of County Commissioners. I personally, when I saw this, didn't like the idea. I thought maybe it was a garage to go to Allegiant Stadium because I couldn't see why they would put one right on the airport field. Why would you? There's plenty of land around the airport. They keep us paying for parking garages. And this seems to be a private one, not one tied to the airport. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So, you know, that definitely does make a difference in that what is the actual purpose other than to generate income from a poorly located piece of land?
Part of it is, but it's also the location being at the airport. You're right, it's a poorly located piece of land, so it adds a benefit of parking for individuals that, you know, when the main garages run out of the long-term parking and you're driving around, where if you're right there, it's a more convenient location, it's going to have the shuttle services. So they just identified the land as being proper for a parking garage. It's a public facility, which, as I mentioned, the parking garage use is permitted under code. And then also the parking garage, the driveway widths, the parking stalls, all meet code, so we're not requesting any waivers before you all tonight.
Can you put the overview that you had of the parking garage in relation to the airport?
Yes. Like the aerial map?
Yes. Now, I know the staff has a lot of preliminary conditions, and the Department of Aviation has about almost three pages of security, mostly security issues. And a lot of FAA approval would be needed. If that doesn't happen, it's not going to happen anyway. But I wanted people to see where that garage is in relation to the fuel tank. Now, we had a guy at Mandalay, who was way far away, further from them than that, and he still managed to hit it. And the only reason it didn't create a problem is because the ammunition he was using wasn't able to penetrate and it wasn't hot enough. So I really think that this is just a really poor, it's a poor thing to have there. I don't see, you know, it's going to be open to the public, correct?
That's correct.
So just about anybody in the world go in there and park the car.
That's correct.
And I think that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I think at this stage currently, the Department of Aviation in the airport is the best situated to make these recommendations regarding safety. This thing's not going to be built where you're looking at the runways, where you're looking at the fuel tank. All that screening is going to be required, so there's going to be taller walls above. People aren't going to have any sort of sight line to the fuel tanks or to the runways. So be ahead, but the north and the west portion are going to be shielded. There's going to be security on site. They're going to be coordinating with the airport at all times. There's going to have to be designated representatives. So there's going to be a number of steps that this has to go through to ensure the safety, and that's what we're working with the airport on. I think that they're the best situated
to ensure the safety that they do what they're supposed to do. And there's always somebody trying to figure out how to get around it.
And that's right. That's the world we live in.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's difficult because, as I say, the whole purpose of the recommendations are you can't do anything if you meet all these conditions. So you say you're working with them. If this went forward, are you going to meet all these conditions?
Yes, we would have to.
And so then what happens if they don't?
Because
it's a private corporation. That's the issue I have.
You know, we allow people to pull in off the sunset and park right along the runway, and so anybody can aim at a plane anytime it lands.
They could.
So you.
But that's not the issue before.
I understand that. I'm just saying that there's always a way around. There's always opportunities. A way around.
So what we're saying is because we have one issue on sunset, we should create another issue next to the fuel tank.
No, I'm just saying that we don't always follow through with all the conditions that have that are like outlined here.
They're kind of some of those that I can recall didn't quite have the significance that this one could create.
That's where I'm at.
I'm just torn between
it. If I owned the land, I'd be trying to sell it to the airport.
Now, I'll throw out a motion and see where it goes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'd make a motion to deny. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed?
Okay.
Thank you. And that goes to the Board of County Commissioners on 11/5. Okay, item number two. I'm going to read items number 2, 3, 4, and 5 together. Does that work for you? Okay. PA 25700034 CLF LLC plan amendment to redesignated the land use category from RN Ranch Estates neighborhood to LN low intensity suburban neighborhood on 2.09 acres generally located in the southeast corner of McLeod Drive and Viking Road within Paradise. Item number three, VS 250559 CLF LLC vacate and abandon a portion of right-of-way being Viking Road located between McLeod Drive and Mojave Road, and a portion of right-of-way being McLeod Drive located between Viking and Flamingo Road within Paradise. Item number four, WS 250560 CLF LLC, waiver development standards to reduce street intersection offset. Design review for proposed single-family residential development on 2.09 acres in an RS 5.2 residential single-family 5.2 zone, generally located south of Viking Road and east of McLeod Drive within Paradise. Item number five, TM 25500140. CF LLC, tentative map consisting of 10 single-family residential lots and common lots on 2.09 acres in RS 5.2 residential single-family 5.2 zone, generally located in south of Viking and east of McLeod Drive within Paradise.
What do you mean, the location of the property is right here on the cloud, I think, with this site right here outlined in the yellow. The property itself is zoned RS 5.2. When we started this process, we sent out notice originally back in July for a neighborhood meeting, and at the time, we had proposed to do both a master plan amendment and a zone change. At that time, the master plan amendment would have taken it from rental state to bid intensity, which would allow up to 8 units to the acre. And we also asked for a zone change to go from the existing RS 5.2 to a zoning designation of RS 3.3. And the site plan that we showed at the time had 14 lots. It showed access to the off of Viking. There is an existing, I'll call it a driveway, I don't know if that's the technical term for it, but there is a driveway that sits on each side that accesses the lot back here to the south. That remains. I'm not doing anything to alter that. The wall of the development would sit just on the west side of that existing driveway. So for anybody who puts that over here, that driveway remains exactly as it is today. At that neighborhood meeting, the neighbors expressed concern over the density, the number of lots, the size of the lot, the access points on the Viking, which generally was not supported on the project. So moving forward, what we worked on to file, and if anybody in the room got cards in the mail, we no longer have a zone change request. So what that means is we do have the master plan request, but the master plan request now matches what the zoning allows for. There is no zoning request. We're sticking with the zoning that is there today. We're not trying to go above. We're going to stay with the density that's allowed within that master plan category today. And we are now proposing to do 10 lots instead of 14. So the difference is a lot of 4 lots than what we originally showed. A lot, when we were at 14 lots, were a minimum of right around 3,400 square feet. And then the lots that we are proposing now are a minimum of around 5,200 square feet. And down here, lots 5 and 6 are in the 9,000 range, closer to the lot to the south. On this site plan, we will continue to keep that driveway on that east side. Again, there will be a wall that sits on our eastern boundary, and no changes are going to occur to that driveway. It remains intact the way it is today. The access point continues to come off of Viking Road. One of the waiver, well, we have 2 waiver requests, and those 2 waiver requests deal with the proximity of where this street is coming off the Viking to McLeod and then to, I believe it's called Rohar. three grades right above us, it's just right here. But we are just, I'm going to be technical about this, we are just 5 feet shy. For the two waiver requests that we have, the first is to reduce the stream intersection offset in 3A, which is this street right here in the cloud. And it's basically a 4% reduction. We're proposing 120 feet, where a minimum of 125 feet is required. And then that's waiver 1A. And then waiver 1B is measured to this street right here. And for that waiver, we are asking to reduce that street intersection offset between Street A and Roar to 102 feet, where 125 feet is required. And again, that deals with cloud and Roar. The other couple of things that I wanted to point out, these are two-story homes. This would be accessed off of this private drive, which sits right here. From just going through all the applications that are in front of you, again, it's a plan amendment. There is no zone change because the zone is already RM 522. There's the waiver of development standards, which I just explained along with the design review. We do have invitation to allow for detached sidewalks. That means we would put in sidewalks on both biking and on cloud. It would be detached from the street. In compliance with what the code wants to see now. And then we have the tentative map that reflects what I'm showing you today. That is happy to have my presentation and answer your question.
Okay, so how many people are here to on this item? Okay. Can we get a count?
Well, how many are for?
How many are for it?
Four.
Four. How many are for the ice?
You hand if you're for the application, if you're in favor.
Two. And so how many are here who are not in favor of it?
More than two.
I got about 20 still.
Are you raising it?
Keep them raised. Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we can
get
an answer. Yeah. Thank you.
We'd have to subtract one. What did you get?
32. All right, so please remember, for those of you that want to come up and speak on this item, you have 3 minutes. Try not to say the same thing the person said for you. If you've got something new to add to it, that would be great. So who wants to go first?
Good evening. Roger Ellison, 3965 Kelbrook Street, 89121. I'm about 2 minutes over there. And again, traffic studies for gentlemen. Can't find any traffic studies on this project. We just had another one down Whitney that approved 30 new homes on Whitney. Same similar sized homes, a little bit smaller lots than these. And again, all two-story homes doesn't reflect the community that they're putting these homes in, number one. Number two, the traffic studies have been done. Traffic on biking is impossible right now. We're adding the 30 new homes, which is a minimum of 2 cars per home, 60 there, and another 40 now.
If you're not speaking, please just
quiet. And we don't need any comments. You'll get your chance, if you want to speak, to come up and speak.
So a minimum is 80 new vehicles to travel on biking. Another situation I just saw was a revised plan. The community we live in, they're all cul-de-sacs. A lot more accessibility than this community. We have 15 homes on 5 acres in our community. Republic Services has a tough time servicing our neighborhood, as it is. And with the way this new proposal is, they're going to have a really tough time because the guys have the pickup is only on one side. So they're going to have to pull out of the community, onto Viking, turn the vehicle around, and back down the street to get the other side of this. And this is just exactly what they do in our community, but it's all contained within our community because we have streets that will accommodate this. The truck at that cul-de-sac at the end cannot turn around. We have a larger cul-de-sac at the back of our community. The truck cannot turn around in that smaller cul-de-sac. They have to back down the street. So this is going to cause more traffic issues on Viking on every Wednesday for trash pickup, which is already overloaded Viking as it is. Any more delays and any more issues on Viking or on Colina? I was at the city, county board commissions on this last project. I stood there and 2 days before I came to that meeting, it took me 3.5 minutes to make a left turn into my own property because of the traffic on Viking was impossible, as it is now without 80 new vehicles. So that's the biggest reason why I oppose this. Without doing more traffic studies in this area, just standing for it. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I want to give you pictures and a map before I stop. I came prepared. Okay. Picture number one, I'm going to refer to them in just a minute. Also, I just want to clarify that driveway is Viking Road. It's not a driveway, it's a road. But you need to go out there and look at the sign. I've lived there 28 years. Okay. So I'm giving you a multitude of pictures, all kinds of directions for all the neighborhood. I've been there 28 years.
I don't know how to put the pictures up there. Vicki Smith, 3086 Nordoff Circle, Las Vegas, 89121. I have pointed out that this is the property, and I am looking north from Flamingo.
This is CCSC and PBF. This is Dr. Singer's old large house. This is the property right here, 2.09 acres. What they want to do is take some of our right-of-way that is gravel. Gravel is all yellow. And pull it into their property to narrow the street. I agree. No traffic study, no speed, no nothing. I've almost hit, I'm coming out Nordoff that's even farther down. You will notice here is the gravel area. Here is looking at their property. Here is looking at their property some more. It's kind of succession. I've looked west of Viking. I've looked north. And you can see the cutouts because the residents homes that were built there at one time were not required to put in sidewalks or streets. So we have gravel and sidewalks, gravel and sidewalks. I'm standing at my street right there looking back, and you can see the cutoff going up. What we don't need is reduced thoroughfare because people are using it as a cut-through. John, I know you said you've come through our neighborhood before, too, trying to get through to the other. When Flamingo or Eastern or Pecos has orange cones, and if anybody goes down in the cloud tonight, they're putting the orange cones back up. They were doing it when I came home. Mm-hmm. So they're back up with signs with no parking. What I think they need to do is, this is gravel, this needs to be made a right-hand turn lane into here so it doesn't impede traffic on Viking. It doesn't impede traffic on McLeod. It also keeps it open for future development if we can get the county to put a thorough lane in. And if you look over here, I'm looking upside down. Here, this one. Across the street from that intersection is gravel. But you can see we have room for the lane that will come down eventually to my house, and we'll have two lanes instead of the because people pass us on the gravel. And right now we have a speed demon, and they get up to 20, and they slam on their brakes maybe, or they go through it and keep on going. We need to do something. The county needs to get out there and remark it, and it needs to be safer. I agree for everybody. We can't get out of our driveway. And it's supposed to be 25 miles an hour, and at 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning when I leave, I almost get hit some morning. They're not going 25 down that hill. You have any questions? Did I cover it? Did I cover it for all of it? Okay. I am opposed to giving them the property, and we need to keep that lane for our neighborhood. We used to have horses on that.
Is there anyone else? Would you like to come up, give us your name and address for the record?
You don't need a microphone for me. You can hear me.
You need the microphone because it's
recorded. Is it on? Is the microphone on? No?
Yep.
Okay. Sherry Cole. I live at 3801 Robar Street. Robar Street is a short little dead-end street opposite Viking about where they want to put this road. It's very dangerous out there where we are right now because on Robar, there is a house on the corner, on the south corner, excuse me, the east corner of Robar and Viking that has an illegal 6-foot wall around it. And the county won't do a thing about it. I have gone to it many times.
Not to the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've gone to it many times. They won't do anything about it. So if we're coming up Viking, going west on Viking, and turn to the right on Viking.
Excuse me, sir.
Would you step out and talk to whoever you want to talk to? You've done this all evening so far. Okay? Otherwise, we're going to ask you to leave.
Okay, so if you turn to the right onto Robar, you can't see around that block wall. And what makes it worse is their driveway is right at the corner. And they work on cars a lot. And they're halfway in the street. Somebody's going to get killed going onto Robar. It's very dangerous. So now if you add, I can't look at them, I guess. If you add their new piece that's not too far from Robar, we've got Robar, the road that goes back to the houses in that cul-de-sac. And the new one, we're all together, all coming back and forth on this. And the worst thing is, I have called the police department many times, traffic, tell them, please get some ticketing out there and ticket these people because they do not stop on McLeod. They do not stop on Mojave. And it's very dangerous of those 2 4-way stop signs. If we add more cars in, like this other man said, we've got more cars on Viking, it's going to be a disaster. The neighborhood won't take this. Okay, I have cards from people. I have papers. Hang on a second. Here's what I get.
You can give those.
Hi, thank you. That's 2 of us for 3 cards each. And then this is the lady on Robar Street that couldn't be here. This is her original. And these are copies for all of you. And her comments and why she is opposed to this. And she did a big study. She went to the county and pulled it up. I don't know how to do that kind of stuff, but she does. And I think I just have one more she made. Hey, that's pretty good. And this is her original, if you want that, sir. But that's my reason. I just don't think this is going to work because it's just too much traffic in between. They haven't done traffic study. I have been there. I built my house with my husband in 1991. I was one of the original people. I have an acre of land. And I don't want to move. But having this stuff there, I may have to be forced out. I don't know. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to
talk?
Hello?
Ned died.
Please have a
sir.
Sir, how many times do I have to ask?
Once. You just did right now.
No.
Yeah, I told him. I'm hoping you can hear. Okay? The next time someone wants to do this, they're leaving.
You can tell there's a lot of passion going on here. Mm-hmm. I will say this. Before when I come to meeting, we've got the notices a couple of weeks in advance. I came here, saw you before. Remember the guy with the chickens?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is the way it should be. People put in response with everything. I got this one here on Saturday and the other one on Monday. There would be probably a lot more people here if we had proper notice. The county does a pretty good job, usually in the past 2 weeks. She did say two.
Just let me mention one thing.
Yes, sir.
Those notices go out based on the commission, the Board of County Commissioner, or the Planning Commission's agenda date, okay? They don't go out on ours.
Okay.
We have argued that. The only thing I can suggest to all of you, go see your commissioner, go see your legislator, but that's the way it is, and we can't do anything about it.
I appreciate it. In the past, it's always been good. This is one of the college fine notes and everything. Now, the lady did speak of two-story homes, correct?
Yes.
It's actually going to be almost three-story because there's 5 feet of fill on the government property. We got our home 17 years ago. They were bringing in dirt. We saw them core drilling over there recently, checking compaction. So really, when you're up 5 feet, then you do everything up higher. The only house next to that is on the south side, and it's a two-story. It has so many trees, you can't even really see it. Everybody else that's got single-story homes, who love a single-story home, nobody's looking in your backyard, then you're going to have three-story homes, basically, looking over into you. That, I think, is kind of on the wrong side. Push what was signed for in the design of the area before, single-family homes, single-story homes. It makes life so much easier as you get older, but it makes it easier when you're young, right? Try to do your best because I think there's just too many people in there. My wife and I left out to go to her mother's at 4:30. We had to fight to get out on the biking because there was so much traffic. The traffic is atrocious in there. And, you know, I understand everybody wants a place, but if you live between McLeod and Genuine Home North to Twain, the new homes they put down there, they're dense, they're compact. You can barely get a car in the front without hanging over into the sidewalk right there. So try, everybody wants to make money, they want to build something, I'm for it. But really, it's kind of a three-story home. It's 5 foot of fill. And you already know in Vegas, all the homes, there's 7 Delville homes, all the problems they have. That's a lot of homes compacted in there. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
I'd like to talk to you.
Name and address, please, for the record. Use the microphone.
Jan Balfour, 3045 East Viking Road, 89121. I'd like to just talk about point section 3, the third point here about vacate and abandon. I know when we've seen the presentation, they had no plan to do anything about the actual road that they're talking about. When I purchased my property, I was under the assumption that it was a private road. I was given a diagram that showed that road was divided out by four homes, I believe. So in that, I would never, I did not know that that vacant land had rights to that road. So when I look at that image, it shows the road that under, when I look at my property information, shows that that road is divided between the four houses and the cul-de-sac. So that's my only thing. I understand they want nothing to do with it. I just want to make sure everyone knows that all of us on that road believe that it's a private road and we all own it. That's it. Thank you.
Which road, the name of the road are you talking about?
East Viking Road.
East Viking,
right.
Do you think is a private road?
Yes. Yeah, so on my home information, it shows the cul-de-sac divided in a pie, and it goes all the way down the road. We all have one, I have one-fourth of the road.
It's private.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Jonathan Nowski. I'm representing our neighborhood, my wife, and other member of our home that owns our home.
And
we live at 3020.
Go ahead.
For that.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Okay, we live at 3020 East Viking Road. That's right across from the Majestic Project that we're presenting here. We've been there 14 years, and I know when we first got into this neighborhood, we saw horses. Things have been changing. It's getting, we're from back east, we're from New Jersey. It's getting congested. Those of us going through the seasonal change, this looks like it's becoming a permanent seasonal congestion change for us. It's hard for us to get, we're at the corner of Viking and Robar, or that particular house. So this project that you're discussing is going to be right out, coming out at our home, emptying out from the Viking side, and it makes us rather uncomfortable. Because it's very hard, we have a driveway facing that way, And as it is, I back out of there or come in at my hazard and have to deal with the traffic going either way on Viking at all kinds of hours of the day. And yes, there's gravel that they were mentioning. And then on the Robart side, we have neighbors across the way. That's a very challenging proposal that they have to try to get a road or some type of apparatus there to extend to their project. And then looking at the other side, McLeod coming across, McLeod heading north, and trying to take some of that road away. As we're getting more and more congested, we're going to need that road and that width for future lanes because of all this exciting added square footage all over the area. You're looking as the other gentleman was saying, we're adding 80 houses or 80 cars. Now we're adding more. It's getting very, very tight. For all these reasons, and thinking about all these lights coming right straight in our home from across the street, long after the builders have maybe counted up their pennies and dollars, that we're all stuck with this forever. I think it's a poor idea. I think it, excuse me, I think it should be opposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
We don't help.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
Okay. David Rogers, 3117 East Lakeland Road. Adamantly opposed to this. The traffic, the congestion we already have currently is out of hand. As everyone has noted, the new cars, the new houses being placed in that location at that height as well, which the guys spoke about, the 5 feet of builder. These two-story houses will tower over everything around. Everyone wants to build something, I understand that. I know houses will be built there, that the idea of them not is crazy, but two-story homes in that location, that dense, adamantly opposed.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My name is Yana Balcar.
And I'll say it. Go ahead. Say your name again, please.
Yana Balcar, 3065 East Viking Road. And we are located right next to that private road. So we would have the houses right next to us. And I absolutely do not want that. Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else? Going once, going twice. Okay, I'll close to the public and open it up for the rebuttal and the representative. Yes, to the board.
Sure. So, Jeff Lovatovich for the record again. Just based upon some of the comments I heard relative to taking part of the road, I think I want to start with that and make sure that we all understand what the vacation is. So, right now, both McLeod and Viking have adjacent to this site, like, an acre of dirt. And whatever development we're in would be required to put in full off-site improvements. So they're going to, whoever this is, right now I'll say this developer, is going to expand the pavement on the cloud, expand the pavement on Viking to the width that the county requires it to be. The vacation that I specifically talked about is that there is requirements in the county code now that there's requirements in the county code now that want full sidewalks away from the pavement where cars drive in an effort to keep pedestrians safer. So the vacation is just the way the county makes us do it. Makes the sidewalk go there where the green grid, where the gray is, rather than there where the green would have been next to the pavement. It doesn't reduce the pavement that you get on Viking and the cloud. It only allows for
off of the pavement and put the lead pavement, curb gutter, landscaping, then sidewalk, then landscaping. So the green, gray, green is the green of the 5 feet of landscaping, the gray of the sidewalk, and the green of the landscaping. That happens over there at Viking as well. So just to the extent that there was any confusion that we were trying to reduce the width of Viking or McLeod with that vacation or not, it's just to comply with the code requirement for detached sidewalk. In terms of the easement that sits on the east side of this project that goes to the homes that sit on the roof off the page, there's homes that sit back here. I think one of the gentlemen, that easement stays intact the way it is. I'm just trying to make it clear that this project would not disrupt that. I pulled it a driveway with the easement, but their ability to access their home sector just did not impact that in any way. It stays as it is. And the wall from these homes exists on the west side of what that easement boundary would be. So just to clarify that. Know that there's a lot of comments about this project on site. As this board knows, but just to say it for the audience, that county will put on conditions for public work that will require the applicant to do a traffic study of what is required. I think that way in construction, they make the applicant do what's called a traffic mitigation, I think it's called. But the point is that public work in the county does make developers only if the project is approved. Do the study. They don't require it on the front end, and that's for all projects in the county. If the project were to get approved, the developers, part of moving forward, would have to turn in a traffic study that would need to be approved before any development could occur on this site or any permits could be issued. I hear the comments about the density. I understand that. The other point, I think it's the last point, was the comment about the height of the houses. Fair point about maybe just the general objection to two story houses in this area. On the sill comment, the county would require if the applicant to increase the site more than 36 inches to add something to this particular application. I don't have that. Now, I think what the gentleman is referencing is maybe the site already seems kind of tall, and then we could add, and we add a two-story home on that, if it can affect that. I just wanted to make it clear that the applicant wasn't trying to bring in additional fill from top of whatever the site elevation is at this point. That's not part of the application. I think I addressed the comments, maybe not with that passion or anything in here, but
if you have any
answer,
any other questions. Okay. I'll open it up to the board.
First of all, I'm sorry if we seem to come across as stern, but this is not a neighborhood meeting where everyone gets to chit-chat about it. This is a governmental meeting, and we have to have certain rules and requirements of order and being able to hear on the recordings and the secretaries to be able to make the notes, and we can't if people are talking and clapping and cheering as if we are at a neighborhood meeting. That's not what this is. I know there's a lot of emotion to this. I live in a neighborhood similar to yours, a rural neighborhood, that has also seen increased traffic. I'm off of Annie Oakley, and I can't even get out onto Annie Oakley anymore in the morning. It's just crazy the way the county, the city has grown. There's more traffic than ever. I sit and time how long it takes to get to a signal anymore. It's usually 4 to 6 minutes, depending where you are. Those of us have been here over 30 years aren't used to it. We don't like it, but it's part of the growth of the county that we can't do a lot about. So a lot of it was said about traffic study, and item number 4 that was read into the record, which was item number 4 is preliminary conditions, which means that if we approve this, we always, I'm sure you heard us say earlier this evening, pending preliminary staff conditions. That means We're saying, we're recommending yes, but you have to do all these other conditions for item number four, which is a traffic study. So, no, it hasn't been done yet, but they're not going to go pay for one if they're going to be told they can't have the project. So we have to go through certain steps. I believe I mentioned that to the attorney on the parking lot item, is that he can say, I don't like your process. You should be doing all these studies first. But that's not what state law says, and we have to follow the law and the county code in doing things in the order that presented. And as a developer, you spend on average, I actually work in development, you spend on average about $1 million just to get the paperwork and plans in order to do a development, and then you come here. So if we say no and the county commissioners or the planning commission follow our recommendation, which isn't always the case, but if they do, you've already got $1 million into a project before it even gets off the ground. And if we say no, you're out that money. It's a risk in development. It's not a easy way to make money, as a lot of people think. So you're going to get the traffic study that you want, and they'll decide what to do. There's a lot said about the easement and the pictures that are here and wanting the extra lane. Well, the staff has agreed that they can have the easement because that means there's no intention of widening Viking. What they want to see on that piece of land that's there is some landscape, a sidewalk, some landscape, your property line. So if they intended to expand Viking, they wouldn't have granted, they wouldn't have recommended this easement being vacated. They would have said, no, we intend to widen the road. We see this on the strip a lot. There's actually a plan on the strip to be able to widen it. And when the casinos come in for a change, they're supposed to agree to give up 10 feet of the profit, their property for this easement one day if we ever widen the strip. They never want to do that. In this case, the county is saying, we don't have any intention of widening Viking, so yeah, they can have the easement. I know I'm on land. I'm where land dead ends in the Green Valley, and there was an easement on the side of my property in case one day land would go over the wash and connect into Green Valley, and the county said, we're never going to do that. So I went down and filed to vacate that easement and grab that land onto my property. Not all my neighbors have done it, but that's what's happening here. The county's saying, yes, they can have it because they'd rather see sidewalks than the road. So a lot of the things that you're upset about are things that are probably not going to happen. The community's not going to get any smaller. The traffic's not going to get any less. If anything, it's going to grow. And having homes is a much better situation. Now, if you all know someone who will go build a home similar to yours on that site, you know, my neighbors come to me all the time because we have a site and they're all like, let's all pitch in and buy it, turn it into a park. It's not going to happen. It's going to end up being homes, but there's only 10 of them. Not an apartment complex. It's considered a buffer project where you have a low density number of homes adjacent to your larger home. There are two-story homes in the neighborhood. Not everybody has a single-story home. A two-story home is not unusual. So, you know, I have a hard time saying, well, they just don't like it, so the landowner has the right to do it. There's nothing in front of me that says he doesn't have the right to do it by code, and that's strictly by code. That's what we're going by.
Yeah, I would agree. They're not going to widen Viking. They've already widened Twain. They did that years ago. Down there by Pecos McCloud, all the way to Boulder Highway. So I don't see Viking getting widened. I don't know what to tell you if you can't hear me.
No.
Okay. There's an empty seat right up here next to this nice gentleman. So I would agree with what Susan has said. The only concern I have is the height. They've been bringing that building there for years, and then they stop. That's going to add an additional 5 feet onto what they're talking about, and that's higher than I think any of the properties around it. So why is that?
I think I have to go off of what the neighbors have said in terms of what the site looks like today. Opposite of development, which is really when you use a new study. So I guess my response to that would be that part of the other thing has to do with the green study. So I'll talk up too. I'm good at that. So the other condition that will come onto this is that we have to do a drainage study, and part of that drainage study will make sure that our site drains and also gets utilities where it needs to be. I can't speak with clarity on this because the drainage study, much like the traffic study, hasn't been turned in yet. But if that requires us to remove fill, then we will have to remove fill from the site. I just wanted to point out that our application wasn't making a situation worse by adding more
fill
on the top of the site.
And that is in item 4.
Yeah, the, so I was going to bring that up, is that the additional information I've gotten from staff is that there is a traffic study involved with both 4 and 3 and 4, I believe.
As well as drainage in 4 and 5.
So I don't really think there's much to choose. What are you guys having fun?
All right. As much as I know it's upsetting,
is it a question? Do you know how big, like, where it is?
It's not old. Where is it, Jennifer? If they're, I'm assuming they're going to be. The lots are 5,200 to 9,500, so a two-story house. They're going to be 2,500 to 4,000 square feet on a two-story house.
Can I clarify this?
Yep.
It's a little bit less than that. It's a, right now, the capital purchase is 14 million lots, the 4 lots, the houses were able to get bigger.
Okay.
So, what they believe is going to be is somewhere right around 1,800 to 1,800.
Okay, so I'm going to make, I'm going to combine the motions. So, for items number 2, the plan amendment, 3, vacate and abandon, 4, waiver of development standards and design review, and 5, the tentative map, I make a motion to approve.
The motion is to approve 3, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This will go on to the Planning Commission on 11/18. I believe that's at 7 o'clock, Planning Commission.
And Planning Commission is sterner than us. So
and they will make the final decision on this. I'll give the room a few minutes to clear.
I'm a contractor.
Thanks, guys.
Don't forget that.
It's never as bad as you think.
Roger. Got it.
Roger got it.
Yeah.
I got him.
Good seeing you. Roger.
Is there another meeting for this, like the big, like downtown center?
Yeah. 11/18, the Planning Commission will be
meet on 11/18 at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Is there any way to kind of oppose the two stories? We're not crazy. We know it's going to be, things are going to be built here. But the two stories is a massive, the whole neighborhood. We would all be fine with one story. It's just.
It's a pinfall. How the dollars pencil out. You can't, you know, they're going to be five of the people, 350 to 607. You're not going to put that on a single story house.
That's
right.
That property is northwest of this property. Northwest
right now,
yeah. Has approximately 2 acres in there. Maybe just add more. There are 17 homes.
Oh, I'm aware. How does it build?
You know, yeah. The only downside to it is the two-story.
Most of us wouldn't be opposed, but they're going to
the
right here.
And that's why you're
the power.
You want to turn your car in?
Really bad now.
Okay, yeah. Bigger than the other one.
We never know.
You too. The way you spoke to everybody, it really is. Have a good day.
You're welcome. He said our attitudes are horrible.
Well, I was trying not to.
Didn't I explain why?
Yeah.
Wait till they get to bus.
When the meeting is?
Wait till they get to bus.
Okay, we'll go ahead with item number 6, UC250668, Fashion Show Mall, LLC, use permit to allow a vehicle rental facility in conjunction with an existing shopping center, Fashion Show Mall, on a portion of 42.8 acres in the CR Commercial Resort Zone, generally located west of Las Vegas Boulevard, south and north of Spring Mountain Road within Paradise. Is the applicant or representative here for number 6? Okay, we'll trail that, I guess. Do we need a motion? Trail that to the end. Item number 7, UC250721, SGS North America, Inc. Use permit to allow a laboratory within existing office and office warehouse complex on a portion of 10.01 acres in a CG commercial general zone within the airport environs, AE 65 overlay, generally located north of Sunset Road and west of Sand Hill Road within Paradise. Okay, number 8 is here. Or number 7.
Hello, good evening, thank you for the report. My name is Kevin Coffman. I'm the ambassador supervisor for the public.
Can I interrupt you? Can you spell your last name for me, please?
Yes. K-A-U-F-F-E-N-A-S.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Is that my dog?
Just talk into the top of it.
Yeah.
Hello.
No.
Hello.
It's not on.
Hello, my name is Kevin Coughlin. I am laboratory supervisor at SGS Las Vegas. We are seeking a special use permit to continue operating our water testing facility. We are building here all 4 quadrants, 2 of the quadrants. We've been operating since 2015, and we were acquired by SGS North America just 2 years ago. And got to the Lower Act.
Anything else? That's it? Okay.
There's no building, there's no
okay. Is there anyone here in the public who'd like to speak on this item? And now it's open to the public and open it to the board.
Mr. Chair, if there's no comments or questions, I make a motion to approve this item subject to preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion to approve subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 8, BS 250679, Sanchez Family Trust and Sanchez Margaret W. Trust, vacate and abandon easements of interest in Clark County located between Rochelle Avenue and University Avenue and R. Bill Street and Cameron Street within Paradise.
Tonight we're here to request a vacation. The vacation is currently a public regulation. Publicly maintained. So the vacation is the vacation that is dedicated as a public regulation. It's privately maintained. So the original unit was dedicated in 1988. However, much of the vacation that we're in is on our site to be privately maintained. This access here by the kind of light. There is a visible box culvert underneath, and then on the top is the county gutter. So both the box culvert and the I was made aware that staff recommendation was not able to change the effort plan before the recommendation by staff. So other than that,
is there anyone here who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close the public and open it to the board. If nobody has any comment, I'll make a motion to approve set of the staff condition, preliminary staff condition. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Good luck. You go to Planning Commission on 11/18. Item number 9, BS 250694, public right-of-way. Vacate and abandon a portion of right-of-way being Arville Street located between Tropicana Avenue and Reno Avenue within Paradise.
I didn't catch your name, I'm sorry. Can you go ahead and spell that one again?
K-H-A-I-L-D-Y, Walking S-H-I-N, O-N, thank you.
No, that would be perfect. Yeah. Unless you didn't give it, you are here.
This is the only
well, no, you need to give it. I thought you needed that.
Okay, 1-5-5-5 South of the Lord. Okay, so this is super important state. This is a production of the previously approved planning action item. WS-24-0573. One of our public works conditions of approval was to vacate the excess right of way to allow for the installation of the sidewalks along Arlo Street. So that is what the application is for. It's just right-of-way vacation at 6 foot. That'll take Arno, that portion of Arno down to 34 and we're going to install the sidewalk. So I'm open to any questions.
Is there anyone in the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing that, I'll go to the public and open it to the board.
Go ahead, Chair.
Chair, if there are no other comments, I'd like to make a motion to approve the preliminary staff conditions. We have a motion to approve, subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Goes to Planning Commission on 11/18. Item number 10, WS-250714, Regal 1 LLC, waiver of development standards to reduce buffering and screen. And screening, design review for modifications to a previously approved recreational vehicle storage facility by an existing commercial complex on a portion of 17.7 acres in the CG General Commercial Zone, generally located east of Eastern Avenue and north of Pebble Road within Paradise.
So if any of you remember my time here on the board, I'm pretty envy. And when I was asked to help out
what we're looking at here, existing shopping center, I think late last year, this was approved to be converted into storage units. And the plans at that time had RV parking along this north wall. Because the RV parking was there, having to have a 6 to 8 foot wall made sense, screening to residences. But because of the landscaping, because of the layout, they decided not to do those RV spaces right there. So they're going to go with the intent landscaping buffer. But unfortunately, since the use is still storage, the requirement to put an 8 foot wall there still exists. The problem with that is having an 8 foot wall there would really be detrimental to the houses along this wall. I'll show you a picture in a minute. I want to point out right here that this would be a new gate. Same as that one over there. And why it's important is because right now there's no gate. Right now people can drive behind that building. And it was, and that access causes these residences and security issues from time to time. So it feels very important to bring up the fact that this gate is new. Actually, I think it moved further to the east over here. And so the public won't have access to that back area, relieving some of the security concerns for those homes. The RV parking as you move around the corner. Let's get to the heart of the matter. This is existing. Around 2 feet of block and around 5 feet of wrought iron. So at this measurement right here, it's 8 foot 1. That's pretty much what they would have to build in order to bring it into compliance with what the county asks for. They'd have to install another wall right here, because this is a retaining wall, if you want to get that one down. They'd have to install another wall as high as that railing, pretty much. Another picture consistent. You can see 2 feet, 5 feet on the wall. I show you this picture because this is the important part. Look at what it would do to these houses. I mean, if you put a block wall as high as this gate, it would completely cut off any sort of sunlight view, whatever it may be, from the backyard, from the back windows of these houses. I did neighborhood outreach. I actually approached those 3 houses at the request of the county. I should have taken a picture when I was going door to door here. But I have this picture from Google Maps that basically shows if you put a wall as high as that fence right there, you'd really be closing these houses in, closing these neighbors in. And so like I said, I did some neighborhood outreach. I went and I talked to the 3 most affected neighbors. Judith was the furthest one of the west. I got in touch with her, this is Frankel. I got in touch with her by sending her a letter, California. The minute she received it, she called me and said, hey, how do I support not putting a wall in my backyard? Virgil Sundberg has the middle house. I had to help him understand what it was we were proposing, but eventually he signed it. And then the house closest to that gate, the entry gate, also signed. None of the 3 neighbors that would be most impacted want that wall. They've all signed documentation, they've all signed letters saying they don't want that wall. So we understand why staff is asking us to recommend denial of our requests. But I hope looking at this and thinking about whether or not you want to see a big wall in your backyard instead of a little more daylight, and then the landscape and they're installing. I hope you can understand why we feel that, that putting a wall there is bad for neighbors, and hope we can support our application.
Is there anyone from the public like to speak on this side?
Yes, I'd like to comment on that. My name is Robert Florian. I'm the owner of 8752 Arowana Place in that subdivision, and I am on the HOA board. I'm a board member there. I am, however, I'm speaking for myself on this issue with 5 hours of notice that I got, we spoke to you earlier, that card in the mail came to me 5 hours ago. There's two reasons that I would object to this. First of all, is the zoning of that area for RV storage. This is mainly designed as a shopping center, people shopping, dining, and a movie theater. Now we're opening it up to an RV storage. And shouldn't RV storage be in light industrial? That's my question for the board. Second of all, there has been a running problem for months with a couple of the restaurants having open garbage cans and generating a proliferation of rats. We've been to the county on this twice, and our other board members have been not served by the county and getting a rat control in effect. So I don't know if you would care to develop this. So with RV storage, knowing that there's rats and having rats invest in this for RVs, unless something is done about the rat problem. So that's my comments as an individual and not as a board member of the Eastern HOA Board. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I'll close it to the public, and you want to...
Okay. No question about that.
What's the view the other way? You're showing us the view that way. What do those neighbors get to look at through that fence front?
Yeah, unfortunately, as I said, I didn't take a picture of the front of the house. I can't put it on Google Maps because it's gated. This is the best I can do from Google Maps.
But aren't they going to be looking at the RV park on the other side?
Not so much. I'm not going to say no, but if you look at the line of sight, so if you look right here, the line of sight, you know, you have the landscaping. The building would shield these two houses from seeing the RV. The landscaping would be the only issue in this house from seeing the side of the RV. But if you think about it, if you look at the elevation change, they wouldn't see the RVs either because you have to look up. Sorry, I'm getting a bit confused. Yeah, I mean, so even if you were standing in the backyard of this house, which would be the one that had a line of sight, you have to look up and all the way over here to see an RV.
So, when this, I don't know if you were the one that was here, right, when it was originally brought to us to be storage in an RV storage area. One of the things that Kimberly had an issue with, because she lives in that area, was security and making sure there was a high fence because of the homeless that would be able to climb a fence like that and get through. And that was important to her at the time. My office is across the street from there, and I know how bad the homeless is, especially along the wash that's in that area. So,
I just think the wall was needed as a security item. I don't think we're interrupting the view of three neighbors' backyard with a 8-foot wall by saying, oh, you don't get to look at the back of the shopping center, which is now RV storage anymore, or you don't get to look at the side of the shopping center anymore. We're going to have this 8-foot wall. It would be different if they've got to look at the park next door or the trail head, but they don't. So, that was one of our concerns at the beginning, and we're back here looking for a waiver, and I just can't agree. I think it needs to be the wall.
How far are those houses from their wall? Do you know?
Their backyards are very small.
Oh.
They're not very big at all. I would say probably 15 feet, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
15 feet from the back door, so then the retaining wall, and the retaining wall, not much. If I may address the security issue, you're absolutely right. That was actually a concern of Virgil at the middle hallway. We're adding these two cameras to monitor the back area, not the best perfect number. But also, once again, this currently has no gate, and so this is accessible 24/7 by anybody, and it will now be gated and monitored on both ends of the building, so you could just wander back there.
But with the wall the way it currently is, if the cameras are out of the line, that could be looking up to the neighbors as well.
I mentioned that to them. They're going to be downward facing. They're asking right given the height, and they don't have the camera back anyway. So yeah, given the height, they're going to see the backs of their houses.
Mm-hmm.
But they have agreed that they should be downward facing to focus on what's in the drive-by.
I just have a problem with what they should be and what they are over time. And I think that I have to agree with Susan. I still think that the wall is needed.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a unique argument to go through this application process for a waiver to protect the amount of sunlight that three neighbors are getting in their backyard just to not build a wall that is definitely needed. Cameras only record crime, maybe deter it. It's not going to stop it like a wall. I cannot support.
Okay, with that, if anyone no one has anything else, I'll make a motion to deny. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mm-hmm.
Item number 11 was held until January 13th of 26. Next item is number 11. Now, number 12 and 13, get them both in to the record. Sir?
Yes.
Okay. VS 250702, School Board of Trustees, vacate and abandon. Easements of interest to Clark County located between Jeffrey Street and Eastern Avenue and Saddle Avenue and Viking Road. And a portion of right-of-way being Eastern Avenue located between Viking Road and Saddle Avenue. A portion of right-of-way being Viking and located between Eastern and Jeffrey Street, and a portion of right-of-way being Jeffrey Street located between Saddle Avenue alignment and Viking Road within Paradise. Item number 13, WS 250701, School Board Trustees, waiver of development standards for alternative driveway geometrics, waiver of development standards for alternative driveway. I think I already read that, didn't I? Design review for proposed redevelopment of a school on 8.94 acres in a PF public facility zone generally located south of Viking Road and west of Eastern Avenue within Paradise.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good evening. My name is Demetrius Papanadoukis, AARA, PA, and CIO of the IS. In front of you, you have the replacement of the Campus Europe Special School. It's a special school with a capital S, but also a special school with a DC. which means Craig Lucas, he's the architect, is going to give you a presentation.
Craig Lucas, 975 West Diablo, C300. So this will be a musical for Helen J. Stewart. It will be, the musical will be constructed on the existing site, so the school will remain open for construction of the new school. So with the existing school currently located here, the construction will be done in phases. So the first phase will be to take this linear classrooms down here in four classrooms. Portables put in for those students temporarily. All of the portables, play structures, and open area here will be demoed for the new school. So phase 1A, we'll call it, will be the new school. Once that's constructed, the new parking lot here in the front, we instructed students to move into the new school. Existing school will be demolished, and all of the outdoor amenities, playgrounds, and so forth, parking areas will be constructed after that. So here the new school, when it's finally completed, with the new school, we're going to maintain parking along Viking. So kind of the way we had it set up is that you'll have visitor parking here, main school entrance here, so you have all the administrative up front. Kind of in this middle portion will be the multi-purpose room, those types of functions in the middle, and all the classrooms will be on south side of the property. A lot of visitor parking will be here, trash enclosure. There will be a loading space here that will serve as kitchen, mechanical yard here along the eastern. All of the fields here central, future portables. And on the west side of the school, adjacent to the classroom, will be the new play area. There will be a butterfly garden, the new tortoise habitat. The school currently has two tortoises that are being relocated to the new habitat here. And then there's some raised planter beds for gardening located here. School bus is primarily bus pickup and drop off. Three ways of nine buses for 27th program for all the students. So the approach we took for the bus pickup is currently they use the front parking lot stage here. So now what we've done is created a fire lane and also a drop off pickup area which will be on the south side of the building. So they're able to have nine buses for pickup at a time. And we've also located additional spots here for queuing for the next wave of buses. So a new campus if you have many buses on site would be good at one time. The other item for the vacation go along Jeffries, we need the 5-foot detached sidewalk. Along Lightning we'll have the 10-foot detached sidewalk. And then on Eastern there'll be two portions. A small portion here that will be in that 5-foot sidewalk, and then a portion here. Unable to do a detach the whole distance due to the RTC for the bus stop. The addition of the exterior renderings of the school. The first one is the main entry to the school, so we'll have a main canopy that comes out to the visitor parking. So the main interior for the school will be C and D. There will be accents
of different colored metal panels. And all of the scenery too, there's several different textures to the scenery. We can do a little bit of shade and shadow and pull from the screen elevations. This one here is the view of the internal courtyard. So this was the forest habitat that was mentioned here, with walkways and support for the kids. And this is the multi-purpose room, so it has direct access to the outside patio, the view for dining and recreation, and it has direct access here back to the classrooms. This last view here is the south side of the building where the bus pickup drop-off is. So we have a lot of low horizontal canopy to provide shade for the kids. A lot of them are sensitive to the sun, to keep them protected as much as possible. So each group of classroom rooms will have a common area and a vestibule. That way the kids can stage also within that vestibule while looking for buses. And this last one is just a few interior shots of kind of what the interior finishes of the school on our client floor. So this, the welcome sign with the low seating will be at the entry to the school for the reception and off to this side. This is a view of one of the common areas in the classroom rooms. The intent was kind of with the, as you go along, kind of on the south side with the various color changes in the canopy, that color scheme through to the inside of these common areas, so it becomes a wayfinding device for the students. And then kind of each of those will have kind of a nature theme, so it would be photos and things like that in each of those spaces. And then finally, this is kind of a view of the MPU room. Again, kind of bringing some colors into the space, there's some acoustic panels, and kind of creating some patterns within the floor space. Last page, again, kind of overview of the lenders and the units. So these are the five different CMUs that we'll have, the various little smooth face and cone face, a home face, which is kind of ground down to a smooth finish, multiple colors, two variations on the facade, three different metal panel colors that'll happen on the building. Then the windows as well. Some of these windows, you have two types of glazing and clear glass, which will be the high windows, and then one of the frosted glass that'll curve on the lower windows for safety so people can, as they're walking by, they can't see them for the doctor. And then these are the paint colors that will have the various paint.
Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak on the item?
Ask some questions for them, is that okay?
Yes, you can ask.
If you address the questions to the board then, not to them.
Yes, yeah, and then we
will make a note and then they can respond.
I'm Judy Murphy. And I live on 2348 East Pike, directly across from the school. Directly across from the school.
Ma'am, this way.
Because we're recording, we got to hear.
We got to record it. Yes.
Is this a traffic lane that's going here or the parking lot?
Okay, so that's your first question. Got it. Okay, what's the next question?
Basically, looking at the traffic route of where the teachers will be parking and moving in buildings,
okay. And
where the buses will be doing the thing.
Okay.
And yes.
impact of where it's going to change than where it is now.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it, basically.
Okay. Thank you. She had the traffic lane around the school.
Yeah.
And the bus, so I think that brings back to the bus queue and the teacher parking and what had, and getting it off the street, keeping it off the street.
Yeah, so we are, there is an existing drive that's actually farther up on Jeffries here, and we're going to realign that with Fort Bello doing that. So kind of the way the traffic flow is intended, so the main drive comes off of Blythe, so the intent is most of the traffic will come off Blythe. The buses go through the queuing and will enter on this southern drive mostly and come in to get to these queuing spaces. This drive here is mainly intended for this parking here, which is mainly for staff. So staff can either come in off parking or on Jeffries.
That's the top. Jeffrey goes directly to the driveway by Jeffries, right into my driveway. And it's very difficult to get out. I have to back out, and I have to wait for all the traffic that comes down the bike lane, and then there's more traffic coming out, because normally they go out the front one there. And the impact of the and the buses go out that way as well. They come in to Jeffrey, they hug the corner there, the sidewalk around the school, and then go in and let off the kids, and then come back out that
way. Right, yeah, the buses.
They go out toward Eastern, so they don't come down, they don't come down.
Correct, perfectly. Correct.
Everybody sees that. Yeah, I
understand. That's our understanding, but we got the neighbor
right here. Here.
As well as currently all of us are feeling their bushes loose and trying to keep the video buses up for the residences and trying to put them in on site as soon as we get.
So I'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
You're actually increasing the parking up at the top of on Long Biking, correct? There's
correct.
More parking there than there is now.
Correct, yeah.
So more people will come off of Biking rather than Jeffries, because Jeffries is mostly going to be the end of the bus route when they come off and then the queue when they come out.
Yeah.
So there actually should be less parking or less people in front of her house because there's more space on Biking.
Well, it looks like they're going to be going out. They presently don't go out to the side on Jeffries. The people, the parking lot in the front there. You have an exit there for the parking lot. Right here. There's no exit out this way for these people here. But now you're putting in
that because they're putting in the one in the Jeffries. Right, it is the secondary drive, yes.
So that's where all the staff would be in that parking lot? Or the majority?
Yeah, the intended majority, this is staff and this is district park. That's right, this school.
It's not with the staff. Most of them are prescribed, some of them are on.
Right now, everybody is only to Biking. So this isn't the option of Jeffries.
Which is needed because it's so close to the intersection at Biking and Eastern. I'm thrilled to see the school is along Eastern and no longer the playground because of the number of accidents on Eastern. I just waited for a car to go plowing into the playground one day. So I think that's a plus. The fact that you have created such a long bus queue
to keep them out of the neighborhood so all the buses are on site and the kids get to stay on site. They're not wandering off the school grounds to get on or off of a bus is a big plus. Unfortunately, I understand your situation, but when you live near a school, you're going to deal a lot with the teachers and the buses, but all the parents who want to drive their kids to school and
they don't drive. It's all bus.
You're lucky.
It's all bus. Yeah.
They're lucky because usually
special needs kids. Special needs kids.
Okay.
They bus them all in. The buses come in at 7 o'clock in the morning. They have Jeffries. They go along this line here. They don't even get into traffic. They're in like this is a wide street. They hug the sidewalk and then come in, go on the circle, come back out that way and go up. Most of them go up there. And then staying around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they park against the edge here, right on the corner. They're covered. They're not even in the traffic. And then they go and drop the kids to take them back out. Normally this way, because I'm going to the bus. So it's not, the buses don't even get in the way. They don't go in the traffic.
Well, they will. I mean, that this is a great improvement to what's there now in terms of safety for the kids and the buses. And as I say, unfortunately, when you live near a school, you're facing more traffic than
typical. I've been there 40 years.
Yeah.
And have not had traffic from the school. Okay?
Well, it's
and
been there since 1972.
And my house was built in 1972.
Yeah, I do think it redistributes the traffic, though, if you're going to do this, because Eastern and Viking is busy enough as it is. But I'm not quite sure which way. Show me again how the buses are going to come in to pick up the kids or drop them off, and which way they're going out. Is it over there on the Jeffers?
Yeah, the intent is that buses come in in these spots, so if they're few, they come through the parking wrap around, and then they could either leave out this or this.
So they're going to go up Jeffries, most of the buses, or are they going to take that other route that's mostly parking garages and what have you, through the medical area?
Yeah, there is an intent that, yeah, there is an easy route. They could go this back route and up as well. But yeah, the buses could use this as a reverse exit. I think that's mainly to do that they would be versus coming out the main entrance.
Because if they take the other route and bring them out, going in there.
Yeah, so you want to do that.
Which is, yeah, only downside to that is that road there is kind of narrow as it approaches Flamingo and creates problems for the medical officers. So there's a lot of traffic that goes in and out of those medical officers, particularly the one on the east side.
Yeah, I think the bus is coming up Jeffers, if they're going through these sort of like a long or distance along Viking, they don't make further impact to try and navigate that short distance to the intersection.
Just kind of off the subject, Ben, you're going to have the tortoises. All the other animals are gone.
Yes. There's only two tortoises.
Two tortoises left?
Correct.
It was kind of neat back there in the day when you could go back there.
Yeah, so that barn is currently located right here. Right in the back.
Yeah. So that'll go away.
That'll go away.
I like it. I think it's an elegant solution and a good investment in the school. It's not perfect. Traffic is always an issue around schools. And every time a school is brought to this board, there's like a bunch of angry folks about the traffic and where a parent's going to wait and where a bus is going to sit. And we don't want it here. And, you know, you got to have schools. No one's not having to hear a kid. So,
and the parents do what they want to do.
Right. Parents do what they want to do. I like it. I like it a lot.
If no one has anything else, I'll make a motion to approve subject to preliminary staff conditions on items 12 and 13.
Mr. Chairman, on clarification, the comprehensive planning, the first location, I should be for the certificate of occupancy.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Is there anybody here for item seven?
Six, right?
Six. No, seven.
Seven.
Six.
Six.
It was
Patrick
item
Jones.
Six. UC 250668 Fashion Show Mall LLC. Use permit to allow a vehicle rental facility in conjunction with an existing shopping center, Fashion Show Mall, a portion of 42.8 acres in a CR commercial resort zone, generally located on the west of Las Vegas Boulevard South and north of Spring Mountain Road within Paradise.
There's no one
here. No one here?
No one here. I make a motion to return to board at our next meeting, which is
November 25th.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
How do we do this first?
Is there any general business?
November 25th, because you guys can't vote for the President's Day.
I'll come hang out with you.
No, that's okay.
Sure.
Any special, any general business?
25.
No.
Okay. Item number eight, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's microphone up here. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend a lengthy presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Does anyone here like to speak on anything? Seeing none, next meeting is going to be November 25th.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Good night. Thank you.